Good morning.
Nobody else is calling. There we go.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Paula. Good morning, Jay. Good
morning, Donna.
Thank you.
Hi.
Paula. Donna. No, you're here. Donna. Paula. Hey, good morning, Kelly.
Good morning.
Oh, we got Kelly in this morning. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the budget mean?
Temporarily.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a hard stop at 10 o'clock. I want to work with Donna on the 91A request for talk about that when we start the meeting.
Yeah.
What time do we officially have?
9:01.
Okay. I'd like to call the meeting to order at 9:01. And the agenda, which is unprinted, is basically to talk about the proposed budgets for 2021, as well as the proposed warrant articles, trying to get some finalization on those two items. So that being the proposed agenda, do I have a second?
What are we seconding?
There's no agenda to cut.
We need to make a point for that. That's just the way.
Say it again, Paula.
Do we need a motion for that?
Yeah, I just verbally made an agenda. Just asking if anybody else.
Yeah, the phone is
a motion to approve the agenda.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Well, we need a whatever. Let's keep going. Second, fine.
Yeah.
I vote yes.
Okay, I vote yes. Okay. All right. Just one thing. I have a hard stop at 10 o'clock. I want to be able to help Donna with the 91A request. And so just so everybody knows, I counted 18 of the 35 requests that Adam Leiser has are still outstanding that I will try to help Donna get. But at this point in time, reading some of those requests, I'm going to make a motion. This is under... Yeah, I'm going to make a motion that we send Adam a letter, another email, and telling him that we're going to need more time because we had told him first on December 23rd that we would get it to him by January 19th. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm going to make a motion that we push that date out and push it out 30 days, I guess, another month.
Huh. First on the stove and I'll second that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm just saying based on the scope of the work.
Well, yeah, and the fact that Lynn has had to take a leave, which has limited our resources here. So, I have a second from Kathy? Any further discussion? Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. We got a unanimous on that.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, great. All right.
I thought I was taking minutes. Are you taking minutes today, Donna, or am I? I thought I was going to be taking all the minutes in lieu of to save so you wouldn't even need to be in this meeting.
Yeah, that
would be great.
Yeah, that would be good because the phone's ringing behind her right now.
All right,
okay.
I've got everything.
All right. Let's jump right to the proposed warrant articles. And Paula, thank you very much for sending that email yesterday. And I took another look at it and realized that we had a couple of missing items. So I added those to the end. That was to the reclassification of the Reinhardt Place from Class 6 to Class 5 is one.
Okay.
And the other one, which is the proposed sale of the lodge, and we got one surveyor's correspondence with their cost as to how to subdivide that lot. We got another correspondence yesterday from another surveyor saying that he will be getting to that activity to give us a quote as well. So those are two. Now, Kelly, do you have any other warrant articles?
I don't see my leaf blower that I talked about.
Okay.
I got an estimate for $5,500. I was asking for $6,000 associated with that.
Okay, so that's $6,000. Now, let's talk about where that money would come from. Would that be through taxation or through the borrowing from the unassigned fund balance? There's really nothing left in equipment.
Yeah, I would say that would have to be taxation. I would say taxation.
Okay.
I think we talked about the last meeting, at one of our meetings, about what we were going to do with this, that we didn't want to make this a warrant.
Yeah, there was talk about taking it and purchasing it in the previous year, 2020, because of the substantial funds that were saved. And it would just be an outright purchase. But now that that fiscal year has passed, we don't have the authority to do that. It has to be within this year. And if it is, we should probably put it out as a warrant article, let the people know about it. It is a pretty expensive item, but I think the intent and the purpose is well-deserved.
Okay. So I'll add that to the I did do a PowerPoint presentation for everything that we've discussed, and I did add the reclassification of Reinhardt onto that. But I did not add the slide for the lodge. So I can certainly add this. I can add a quick slide for the leaf blower. Is there a specific brand on that or a name that we can add to that?
I can leave the I have a pamphlet on it, paperwork on it. I can leave it in the office. It has a picture and the whole thing.
Just to give some detail.
Yeah, in the wording, do not put the brand, because then you're limited to buying that brand if it gets approved.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. So just leave it as a leaf blower then.
Yep.
Okay. So it's a trailer style leaf blower?
No, it's going to mount on the front of the backhoe. The backhoe mounted.
Okay.
It's a PTO off your.
It's from the last meeting.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. So basically, leave it as open, as vague as we can. And if they've got questions, Kelly can answer the questions, or we can answer the questions on the detail. Okay.
Right.
All right. So that's fine. All right. Go ahead.
Kathy, I'll add it as a warrant. I mean, all the wording on your slides should match what the actual warrant words are. You're going to have to revise that whole presentation to match the.
Which is
words.
Fine. Yeah, I just took Jay's original list and just stuck it in there, so we have at least a.
And the one I sent out last night, I think, has the wording. I matched the wording from last year. I'll go ahead and write that warrant and add it to the list, and then I'll send it to you. I'll send it all so you're done with it.
Okay, so you can add it to that PowerPoint that I sent Sunday?
Add it to the PowerPoint, too, if you want me to. I mean, either way, I'll add it to the warrant list, but if you want me to add it to the PowerPoint.
Yeah, because I think the PowerPoint now is going to become the warrant list. That's what we'll be presenting at the budget hearing.
Yeah, but we still want to have a copy of something else on one or two pages to pass out to people. We're not going to pass out copies of.
Well, we can do that. That was kind of the intent, was to maybe print the slides two per page and then use that as a handout along with the copy of the detailed budget.
It's just a lot of paper. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
I mean,
I think we're good on warrant articles. Unless anybody has, Donna, I'm just going to reach out to you. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I have some others.
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I want to be clear on the brush and tree cutting, that just for roadside mowing, I had gotten an estimate of $7,000 to get good bite into our roads. It's not going to complete every road, but that's what the guy came in, and I drove the road with him, and that's what he said a good starting number would be.
Yeah.
That does not include the water main areas.
Yeah, the bridle path on Riggy and on Reinhardt. Those need to be cleared. They're about a year or two overdue for their cutting. And again, the thicker the. Yeah, so we don't know yet, but Kelly.
Different company. This guy doesn't do that.
He doesn't do?
There's no way he can do those steep hills.
Yeah.
Not with his equipment.
Yeah, we'd have to get someone with a skid steer to come in and the brush hog. So let me reach out to someone and see if they can give us some numbers so we can get those two merged together. Now, that'd be one warrant article, and when you actually, if it's approved, you take your cost out of that. As Kelly said, $7,000 would come out of operations budget, and whatever else it takes would come out of the water budget. All right?
If the warrant's not approved. If the warrant, so what do you say that again, Jay?
If the warrant is approved, people will say, well, if you're doing some work on the water system, that has to come out of the water budget, and if you're doing work on roads, clearing brush, that has to come out of the roads budget. Yes, we understand that. And we would actually have those numbers specific to each budget.
But we're not adding them to the budget. We're not adding them to the budget. We're creating a separate warrant article for them.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly, yep.
Right. So they'll be raised by taxation.
The one will say 7,000 is from taxation, and the other amount is raised from water fees. That's all.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
There you go. Yep.
But how do we? We can't do that. We can't. In order to raise it with water fees, we add it to the water budget. That's a separate. So we do that separately. If it's for from taxation, it becomes a separate warrant article.
Right. So it would come out of the, for example, the capital water line extension fund, one of our CRFs.
Anyway, okay, we can. All right.
Yeah.
Wait, we can figure out the logistics of how to do it, but yeah, because
okay, hold on. So you're saying that anything we raise for the water system has to come out is not a warrant article? It's all the
if it's a separate warrant article for water, we can pay for it either with taxation, which is fine. But if it's just going to come out of the water budget, we don't need a warrant article for that.
Well,
is the third option to raise water fees, extra water fees to do it, to add it to what you're going to...
Right, but that wouldn't be a warrant article.
Paul is correct. So you have a warrant article to approve a water project. If the project gets approved by the voters, then the water fee would increase accordingly. Paul is correct. Remember, we set the water bill ourselves after the results of the annual meeting.
Okay.
But we are saying is it has to be two separate warrant articles. We can't put both in one article.
Correct.
If some of the money comes from one place, some of the money comes from the other place. Why not?
Yeah, since it's going to be, it might as well, if it's two contractors, we might as well have two warrant articles. So we can do that.
One could get shot down, and that shoots both of them down. So you're better off to separate it.
Yeah, we'll separate.
You could do one and not the other. You don't need to have – they're not tied together. Sounds like you could do one or not the other. So maybe it should be two separate articles.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to write it up as a separate warrant article, and then we can just – we're going to need to have another final review of these before everything goes out.
Well, yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, all right, go ahead, sorry.
I had mentioned possibly doing engineering for Little Loop. I don't know if we still want to try to do that. Like I said, even if we get it engineered, it's still going to be 2 years before work gets done.
As I recall, we discussed that we did this.
Now, when you say engineered, we first talked about surveying where the road is.
Right.
And also doing some drainage engineering as well?
That's what we need. Engineering.
Okay. And I think, Kathy, we had a number on that from White Mountain Survey. Is that right? For a couple years ago?
That's correct. Yep.
Yeah. What was that, 9,000 or 14 total?
Oh, I think it was 13. I think it was 9 and 4.
Yeah. All right. Let's put in for that. And what we'll try to do is whatever positive response.
Okay, I'm going to recommend against that. So that'll be 2-1 on that one, probably. So you want to add that, though? Kathy, you agree?
Yep. Yeah, we can add it. If it gets voted down, it gets voted down. If Kelly, it'll be unfortunately incumbent on Kelly and I guess the board to convince the voters that of all the roads, this is the last road that really does need to have some work done to it. And I'll find that document and I'll send that to you, Paula, which has the actual cost and put 10% on it for a contingency since it was done 2 years ago.
Yeah, the other thing too, Kathy.
Yep, I'm listening.
Yeah. The other thing too, Kathy, is that since White Mountain Survey was actually going to survey the road, I don't know if one of our letters about surveying the lodge went to them, but we might get some benefit by having them survey both areas.
I thought it got surveyed.
The road?
Did it get surveyed?
No. Little Loop? No, no.
Okay.
No. That's the additional cost. Yeah.
And you want
to
the recommendation is to take this out of taxation?
Good morning.
Yeah, it would have to be taxation, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll add it.
So that's a warrant article. Is that correct? Little Loop Engineering?
Yep.
Okay. All right.
And the last one is the heater system downstairs. I'm still waiting for callbacks. I called Whitelaw. He did return my call and said that he would call to come in and look at it, and I haven't got that call back. So that's nobody else is answering their phone. I would expect Whitelaw to call me back. He's just going to, when he's in the area, come in and take a look.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Kelly, I think... Yeah, I think to Jay's point, because I brought that up last week, we decided to put that into the operating budget because, God forbid, it gets voted down and the furnace goes down, we can't replace it. So we are going to put that into the into the operating budget, so it will get done.
Hold on. That's a good idea.
And I know
that's good.
Last year's meeting, it was voted down.
That's great. That's all I got.
All right. I'm just going to, we're going to just, I think that's all I have, unless Kathy or Paula has something, but I do want to ask Donna if she has anything as well from the office standpoint.
You're welcome.
Okay, Donna's just hanging up. So, Donna, not to put you on the spot, but from an office standpoint, is there anything that you feel is pressing that's needed for the office that would possibly be a warrant article? We got the new printer.
I don't know. I know Paige Libby, when she came in, said that this is on its memory-wise and everything.
I
don't know if that has any bearing.
Yeah, I think we have enough money left in the capital reserve for office equipment to certainly replace that.
The other thing I need is locked cabinets. Catherine, working with her yesterday, stuff that's not locked should be locked.
Oh, yeah.
That I was told that I was not aware of. Like all the time cards and all that should be locked up.
Yeah.
So we have one locked cabinet in this place.
Okay. We don't have keys for any of these? Okay. We can redo the locks.
So, but other than that, I have no idea.
Okay. All right. How is your building, how are the your visitors up upon the roof?
They haven't been bothering me.
That's good.
Yeah.
Have they been helping you out?
I wish. I don't know if that was ever spray foamed. Somebody was supposed to spray foam upstairs. In the attic?
Yeah.
The modern pest came through.
Did they actually come in here?
Yes.
They did?
Yeah.
But,
and they said that there's a hole where the that unit was put in upstairs for the pipes, and somebody was supposed to drop off spray foam, and somebody was going to spray foam the hole for me.
Okay. All right. Let me write that down.
So,
that's what I'm doing at my house.
Yep.
All right. Anything else for your infrastructure here in the office? The heating system's working okay? Air conditioning's okay? All right.
That's my knowledge.
All right. That's all we got for warrant articles. Let's jump right over to the budget, if that's okay with everybody.
For a minute. The only thing I would like to discuss, then, is the order of these new ones, because I had reordered everything into what I think. I mean, to me, like, you put the most expensive stuff up front, or the, you know, seems like we have a third order. So I'm gonna put in this engineering for Little Loop. I'm gonna put that up pretty high, because I think if you leave that stuff, what happens is, you know, people do tend to drift off from these meetings, even if it's virtual. That may happen, and I think you want the discussion on the most expensive items as early as possible in the meeting because they may cause the most interest in discussion, and you want everybody to hear the comments on those. So, you know, versus the stuff, all the capital reserve accounts, you know, it's pretty straightforward. So I think I'm going to put in the engineering. I'll put it up pretty high, and then I'll put in the same thing with the blower. These are all new money from taxation being raised on optional items, you know.
I agree with that.
Yeah, okay, that's good. And the ones that are from the unassigned fund balance, they'll go probably pretty quickly.
Yeah, okay. Some of them are some high ones. I think I just tried to put them in order of, like, what made sort of logical sense, and I'll look at that again, and then I'll see them where I can make the most sense, and then I'll send it back out to you guys. I'll leave the road classification one till the end. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Yeah, let's jump right into the budget. See if I get this. Did I do this right? Did I miss a page? Let's see. Darn it, did I miss a page? No, I don't think so.
You have it?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
I don't have the old one, though, but I can run off of this.
I have one more point to you guys about Little Loop, because as I said, I'm going to vote against it or not recommend it. You spend $14,000, it's probably going to be more than that, to engineer that road for next year, for the following year. Remember that the following year you're going to put in a lot of money for Edelweiss Drive. So if you come back in 2022 and you want, you know, between $50,000 and $100,000 to do Edelweiss, maybe more, and then you're going to come in with $100,000 or whatever it's going to be to redo Little Loop, you know, I don't know how realistic that is. So, you know, the idea of one of the issues that I always had is if you're going to spend engineering money, you better be very prepared to come back the following year asking for a lot of money, whatever those engineers tell you. And that I would keep that in mind. That's all I'm telling you. If people ask me why I'm not voting for it, that's one of the reasons I'm going to provide. And I just want you guys to be aware that that's how I feel about it. And just given the size of that road and the number of homes on it, I you know, for me, that's just more money than I'd be willing to spend right now on a road that isn't publicly traveled, except for the people that live on it.
That's a good point.
Okay. Well, Paula, I think, and Kelly, you know, confirm this, I believe that Kelly feels that the majority of the work we can do as a district as part of general maintenance and kind of work at it over a couple of years. But Kelly didn't want to start putting in drainage and culverts and repairs to the road until, number one, he knew exactly where our deeded road was, and number two, if I put a culvert here, it may have a negative impact somewhere else. He'd rather do it according to an engineered plan. So I think that the original discussion was that, you know, get a formal plan in place, you know, like have a landscaper come and give you a complete landscaping plan, but then you as the homeowner can do your own planting.
I don't know how Kelly knows how the work's going to be done if he doesn't know what the results of the survey are. So that's fine. He can say
well, that's
that.
What I'm saying. But that was the plan. He can do the work. There's nothing major, but he doesn't want to even attempt to start addressing the drainage issues there because it isn't just the homeowners that are inconvenienced. Plowing that road is very difficult because it's narrow, it's low, it's muddy, and it's got poor drainage. So if he knows what to do in order to complete the plan, the district is more than capable of doing it themselves. So I think that was sort of the original discussion. So I don't know if anything has changed.
Okay.
No, that's right, Kathy. I just like to, even moving forward next year, the year after, going down the road, as we address situations on that road, I'd like to have a plan. It's not a plan that's going to go out of date. It's going to be good forever. It's not like we're getting a bid on the project. If I got to do a driveway culvert, I want to know which way to tip it, something like that. You know?
Yeah. I think it's not a warrant article that's going to require, you know, additional $100,000 of funding the following year. I think it's really just to give Kelly that roadmap in order to go in there and correct the road.
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe that'll
right,
change your mind, Paula. Maybe not.
I tend to agree with Paula in that we're asking to spend money on a fix that we don't know how much that may cost or if it will ever be done. But as Kelly has proven in the past, we've actually done that. For example, the Bergdorf and the Grissom culverts, we got numbers for each one of those. They came in close to $500,000 each, and we saw where Kelly turned the Bergdorf culvert into a $11,000 or $12,000 fix. So he is able to obviously work some miracles.
My thought process, and I may be off, but everybody pays the same taxes, and if their road needs just as much help as a main road, I try to give it to them. So when I get complaints from people on any particular road, they're paying the same taxes. So I try to cheat. I try to treat everyone the same. So
yeah, they deserve it.
Yeah, up to you guys.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Next.
Okay. So going down from the top, I'm looking at administration. And I want to talk specifically about the bonuses. And we had numbers in there from last year, and we carried them over into this year. And I was thinking about this when we gave out bonuses, and putting these numbers in the budget doesn't really make much sense. And here's my reasoning for that. So we have a policy which restricts the commissioners as to how much money they can give in bonuses, correct? And that's what we followed this year. We also then had that same amount of money in the budget. But as we all realized from last year, if you overspent your budget, you cannot give bonuses by law. So my theory is let's leave the bonus line item zero, and the compensation would be such that if we do have surplus, as we did this year, at the end of the year, we simply enact our policy on bonuses, and that's how we distribute bonuses, is through the policy, as opposed to beefing up a budget, which a taxpayer could look at and say, oh, wait a minute, you're going to use their bonus money to go buy sand or salt or repair a truck, which it can be used on, which we did last year. We took that bonus money, and it went elsewhere other than to the employees. So it's sort of a catch-22. The policy is already there, which allows us to give bonuses, but I don't think we have to raise the money in taxes and then find out at the end of the year that we couldn't give it anyhow, but we spent it on something else. So that would make the overall budget look better to the taxpayers, I think, but still allow the commissioners to give the bonuses, as we always do. And the thing
it was included, and I thought there was some discussion about the taxpayers wanted to see it separated. And I wasn't around during that time, but I think they felt that that money should be separated out and not lumped into the salary number.
Right.
Jay, you may know that better than I do, because it happened prior to me being involved, but they wanted to see it broken out in a separate line item.
Yeah, so it was actually padded into the salary number, which was sort of, I don't want to say deceiving, but it wasn't transparent. But I think the policy is pretty clear as to what we can give each individual, and I'd rather rely on the policy, because the policy can be changed. See, if we put a line item in here for bonuses, then that's it. But if we rely on the policy...
No, that's not true.
I know, we can give more, but then you're going to get the questioning. I'd rather go and change the policy in the middle of the year than to try to exceed the line items in the budget.
Go ahead, Paula.
Spend the money on other things. That really, you know, unless you're really going to adhere to have a rule or a policy that you can't move things around line. I think he makes a good point, is that the bonuses, if bonuses can only be paid if we're under budget, which is part of the policy, and bonuses are for work done above and beyond, and the question becomes, say you come in right on budget, and you don't, and so you don't go over budget, but you basically come in within, you know, here or there, a little bit of money, you know, dollars and cents within the budget. And you feel like your employees have really done an outstanding job and they've gone above and beyond and they've met all the criteria of the bonus, how do you pay them a bonus? And then the question, where does the money come from, Jay? I think that's the one question. I think the question then would be, I'd pull it out of unassigned fund balance. Are we allowed to do that? Or would that would then take us over budget by giving them a bonus? I mean, Jay's way is basically saying, like, that you have to come in under budget in order to give them a bonus. Yeah. The only way you can legally do it, if that's the way he wants to do it. So I can sort of see, I see it philosophically what Jay's saying, but I'm concerned about the practicality of it at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's a great question. So here's how the mechanics of that might work. to your point of if we came real close to meeting the budget almost to the penny, then if it's not, if the bonuses are not in the budget, then how do you give the guys a bonus for the year? I mean, they really worked hard. So at the end of the year, when bonuses are discussed, what you would do, and has been done in the past, Kathy is aware of this, is that the commissioners have the right to look at expenditures during the year and then look at your capital reserve funds and say, gee, we should have taken that money out of capital reserve fund. And you can do that.
No way, no how, Jay. That's what the prior board did. No, no.
No, we don't want to do that. No, we don't want to go back and start, you know, reinventing our books. No, I don't agree with that. And to Paula's question about the unassigned fund, the unassigned fund is sacred. If money goes into unassigned fund, there's only one way to get it out, and that's voter approval. So even though we put $60,000 in because of our budget this year, we don't have the right to take $2 out of that. So that would definitely have to be voter approved.
Okay.
I would leave it in, Jay. I would leave it in. And I know what you're saying, that, you know, if we have a tight year, we end up with that $5,000 or $4,500 kind of as a buffer. And, you know, to Mary Alice's point, what she said about the budget, well, why don't you have contingency built into your budget? Well, technically you can't, but this gives us a little bit of flexibility. And you can't do a budget so tight that one little thing, one little hiccup, and we were extremely fortunate this year on numerous levels that our budget came in so under budget. But I have a hard time believing that that's going to happen 2 years in a row. So I just would hate to handcuff us to the point where, you know, we can't do anything in November and December.
Okay.
And you're right. That does become a little bit of built-in in buffer if we need it.
All right. Okay.
So I would leave it. I would leave it. And not necessarily for that reason of it being a buffer, but also the fact that it sounded like previous voters wanted to see that in there, that there was the possibility of that bonus being paid.
Okay. But as far as bonuses for part-time, this is new. And we've never paid part-time bonuses. So,
I think we did for snow plowing years ago.
Snow plowing always got a bonus.
Yeah.
Snow plowing?
Yeah.
Well, the sign-on?
No, the sign-on.
Right.
They completed their their contract. They got $250.
Yeah, that's, a sign-on is different. That's to make sure we get somebody in case they're available. And they may not have a plow
and there's nothing. But, Jay, there's nothing that states that the bonus only goes to full-time employees. So I think we're creating a problem that doesn't exist. Or we're addressing a problem that doesn't exist. They're employees. It's an employee, whether it's a full-time employee or a part-time employee.
Yeah.
I don't think the ordinance doesn't say, or the policy doesn't say, not an ordinance, the policy doesn't say only full-time employees are eligible.
You have to set your line item at the maximum allowable and then drop it off from there if we don't do a good job. So you have to have it in the line for part-time, mm-hmm. full-time, and then that way it's there. And then if we don't perform, it comes in under budget.
Okay. All right, so Paula, what are your feelings?
I think we need to leave it in, and I think Kathy's right about the part-time. If it's not specified, then I don't, you know, we can do whatever we can bonus however we feel. Whoever the current board is can use it accordingly unless they want to set a new policy.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah,
that's always good.
You guys, it sounds like Kelly is still participating. If Kelly, let's go over his stuff then, and then he can leave. Because he doesn't hear about it. Great call. All that. Do you have any other comments, Kelly?
I don't have any. Just looking at the budget, I think our payroll is awful tight, our salary line. We actually went over on our salary, I think.
No, you were under.
The final number, but it came awful close.
I think you were under. By
under by not much, though.
$200, almost $200.
So just moving forward, I think you have to figure on, you know, both Jeff and I have a review throughout the year. You just kind of got to figure what might happen there and have that available.
Yeah, so I'm looking at the salary line item number 43 for highways and streets. And the increase is from $98,000 to $99,000. So that's a $1,000 increase for both full-time employees on the highways and streets. So that basically gives them a $500 raise each if you were to split it evenly.
We spent 98, right? And then we raised it to 99, so it's $1,000. Yeah.
Yes, that's 1.02% increase.
Okay. So if we change it,
I put 103,000
increase for the year. That's typical. That's the average we give. Put in a 3% increase.
So I put in $103,000.
I just didn't want to put in that $100,000.
How much did you put in?
I put in $103,000.
Okay.
I jacked it up by $4,000.
That's just 4%.
Yep.
If you put in 3%, then that's the max amount allowable is 3%. So we're shooting for average. Just got to remember that, because that's what we see.
We'll remember that.
Say it again, Paul.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. No, I get that. I did.
So I have a review this week, so I don't have to come because all I can get is 3%.
No, that's what we're going to discuss.
Increases, and you don't care about the feedback, then you don't have to show up for your meeting, I suppose.
Okay.
No, that's what we're going to talk about. And then we can, after your review, we can actually adjust the line item. Again, we have time to adjust all of these. Okay.
I'm just pointing out things that I see in my budget.
No, that's fine. We appreciate that. We'll adjust that number. But I don't want to have a discussion now about what your increase is going to be. So we'll put the right number in here when we get to the final numbers.
And again, it's very difficult sometimes to look at these budgets, and just because we have overtime of $13,750, that doesn't mean we can't spend more than that. The line item breakdown is just a example of how we think the budget will shuffle out at the end of the year. It doesn't mean that we're limited to any one line item. It just doesn't. So, you know, if we gave you a 5%, Jeff a 5%, and we'd have to say, okay, we got to take that money from someplace else. We don't physically make an adjustment in the budget to do that, but as long as we don't overspend the bottom line, then that's what the voters are having us entrusted to, is not overspending the bottom line. And how we do that is up to the commissioners. So whatever number we put there, don't go back and do the math and figure that once we hit that number, that's it. You know, there's no room for any additional payroll because the number is stuck at 103,000.
I know that, Kathy. I just try to be as accurate as possible. That's all.
Yeah, and we owe that to the voters to be as accurate as possible too. So I appreciate your concern about that.
Okay. I wanted to jump down to the equipment and maintenance. And, darn it, I lost it. So
what line are you on there?
I am on number 49.
Equipment
Thank
mate.
You for putting
okay,
that total,
that total amount.
There.
Okay. I got a phone call and got the sidetrack, so I'll finish doing that.
Okay.
But
so
line 49 of the budget. Sorry, okay, I was looking at line 49 of Excel. Okay, go ahead.
Okay,
So I brought that down to, and I'm trying to find out what it was originally, Paul, Kathy. I brought that down to $35,000 from the $48,840 of last year. Even with the old $550 in place, we spent $27,158 on repairs, which is surprisingly good. Now that we have pretty much all brand-new trucks except for the couple of the big ones, I thought we could do better in reducing that number to keep the budget satisfactory. Because taxpayers are going to ask the question, you got two brand new trucks that do the bulk of the work. Why do we keep the repair item so high? They're under warranty, both of them.
Yeah. Well, the, so number, I think the number that we settled on was 32,000. I think we made an adjustment based on our prior conversation. So the budget number that I'm looking at is 32,000.
Okay, yeah, the one
well,
I'm looking
I,
at.
Are we using which? So, yes, yeah, so I'm looking at Jay's. Jay, you brought it down. Kathy had it at 32. You brought it back up to 35.
Okay,
then,
no, I meant to bring it lower.
What?
I meant to bring it lower.
Okay, so 32 is a good number then? I wouldn't go lower than 32.
Well, see, that's where we get to play. If we believe that that number is still relatively high, we could shrink that number, and depending upon the results of review, employee reviews, we could move those numbers around. You know what I'm saying?
No.
No.
So,
I know what you're saying, but I don't agree with it.
If you want to keep the bottom line of the budget.
I think we should be budgeting on moving money around. I think we should be setting the numbers the way we think the most anticipated expectation. That's what you do.
And that category, that's a big category. It's broken down per vehicle, and then there was another, $6,000 or $7,000 that was in just everyday supplies for the DPW garages. So the fact that we spent $27,000 this year, I think that's a very low number. I think Kelly did an excellent job of not buying anything that was unnecessary or even things that, well, you know, we could use it, but and I just don't think that that's going to happen 2 years in a row. We had no major repairs on any vehicle, and we didn't even use the Ford 550 for half the year, so there was no cost to that truck whatsoever this year. So
The bucket on the backhoe had to be severely repaired. The edge on the bucket?
Yep.
That was what, $10,000?
Okay.
Yeah, so there's a good chunk there.
It takes one repair, Jay, and we'll be in the same boat where we spent $100,000 in that line item in 2019.
And what are you proposing? What do you want it to be?
If it's 32 now, then let's keep it at 32. But then if you go and look at the next line item, number 50, which is fuel, we went from 15. And what do you have on yours, Kathy, right now for this
12.
Proposed?
12.
Okay, good. So I'd like to go to 10. Seeing what we've spent the previous year, 84.60, that leaves us basically $1,500 of extra fuel if we need to use it. I don't see fuel prices actually going up very much. We're sort of in an oil glut, and that helps us. I mean, hey, I like it. My truck's a gas guzzler, so we could trim it a little. Say that again.
You want to do that down to
10? Reduce to 10?
Yeah, 10,000, yeah.
Okay. All right, 10, 1, 2, 3, done. Okay, that's done.
Yeah, and then the next line item, number 51, under tools and equipment. We had budgeted 4,000. We spent 7,517. Is that right, Kelly?
I don't know how that happened. What went in there?
Jay and Kelly, so that was the result of reposting when you and Donna sat down and redid all those bills. A lot of that ended up under tools and equipment, stuff that shouldn't have been related to the vehicles and the actual garage. Now, Donna can tell you in 5 seconds all the things that are in that category. So it jumped up quite a bit from what it was previously. And I think a lot of it was because we reallocated some of those bills that just were sort of generically dumped into, not dumped into, but generically posted to the repairs, maintenance, supplies category. So let me see if I can find a previous budget.
Okay.
So what should it
here's
be?
My question. Yeah, here's my okay. That's right. Here's my question to Kelly. What should it be if you actually spent $7,000 on tools? Do you need another $7,000 this upcoming year?
No. Unfortunately, if I would have known that was going on, I would have never overspent that line. I try very hard not to overspend lines. So last time I looked at that, we were at like $880. So I, yeah. I bought
so Don,
something.
If Don is, yeah, if Don is right there, Donna.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could you look at that line, that a category, and see what if there's any like one or two big things that jump out at you on the tools and equipment?
Yeah, chainsaw and the leaf blower, the backpack.
Yeah.
And the pump.
And the pump.
Yeah, so we don't need those again next year.
So those three things added up to about what? Kelly, what were those three things approximately?
12, 2,000? Thereabouts?
Okay, so still. So was there anything else over $500 that got posted to that line item?
Donna's
okay,
pull
I'm waiting.
But Kelly, as far as this upcoming year, do you see any big items like those that you? Okay, no big items.
No.
So just hand tools, wrenches, sockets.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So we had it at 4,000. I left it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I was thinking we could lower this. It looks like we did get a lot of tools this year. I don't see them as being disposable tools that we need to get every year.
Correct.
Again, so if we could lower that amount.
Well, I left it at 4,000. I left it at 4,000, which was what the previous year's line item was, or the beginning of the year, what that was estimated to be.
I brought it down another 1,000 to make it 3. What do you see, Donna?
And a couple of Lowe's and Coleman Rental.
Coleman Rental? It shouldn't be in there, though, is it?
Yeah, because that's the blower.
Home.
But I thought that, don't we have a line item for rental?
That wasn't a rental.
No.
Oh.
The pump that I bought.
Oh, the pump. The
so
pump,
the
yeah,
pump,
yeah.
The pump, not a blower?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah, because the blower is just a rental.
Well,
yeah. So I brought it down another 1,000, Kathy and Paula.
Okay. All right.
Is that okay, Paula?
Sure.
Kelly.
Yeah, we should be fine.
Kelly thinks that's a safe number.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll change it to 3. I did it.
Okay. And then the communications equipment repair, we had $1,200 budgeted last year. We spent $1,626. Do we know what was that new radio or for the new truck?
Any radio.
No radio.
No, that would have gone under the Warren article.
Communications equipment repair.
Telephones and that, but that should change.
Right. Is that the Verizon bill? Just looking
Verizon.
At it.
Yep.
It is Verizon.
No,
and what?
No, wait a minute.
No.
Something in here that shouldn't be in there. An FW web that was probably posted to the wrong account.
Okay. How much was that? Was a big item?
$688.
Yeah, we put 4-inch piping under communications.
Yeah.
You're talking one end of the ear out the other.
So what account would that go into the...
FW Web, probably somewhere under the water system.
No, it was for highway equipment. Miscellaneous pipe service. 6-9.
June 9th?
Does it have a description?
Okay, it looks like there was a $600 charge that should be elsewhere.
$688.
Okay. That makes more sense. Good catch.
That would bring it down to, 600. I'd rather keep it at 700.
Well, keep it at 1,000.
Paul, what are your thoughts?
I don't think we spent 1,000. I'd keep it at 1,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep it at 1,000.
That's strictly the Verizon account.
Yeah, that's strictly the Verizon. Okay.
Okay. All right. So another one should go into what? Okay. So that should go to the water budget, that $600.
Right. Jumping down the road, let's jump right to sand. Yeah, and I don't have line items here. It'd be, sand. We had budgeted last year $17,000. We actually spent $4,492. Now, if we remember Kelly's comment, right at the very end end of the year, Kelly had you had purchased how much sand? $4,000 worth.
It was the end of the year.
Yeah.
$2,000.
Okay. Yeah.
Does that include Happy's budget?
Well, that was under last year's money, Paula. We had already we had the surplus of money, so Kelly went ahead and purchased $2,000 worth of sand. So we're and it's not even here yet because we don't have any place to put it.
We got the sand.
Right. But that $2,000 is not included in the $4,492, is it? It's not $4,492. It's $6,492, correct?
Oh, I don't know. Well, Donna can check to see if that last bill got posted to 2020, which I think it did.
Is that High Street?
Yep.
I didn't. I just got the bill. It's for
okay.
How much is
for,
it?
Wait a minute. I'm pulling it. For $2,000.
Okay.
So we're actually So we've actually spent $6,500. Just for note. And we're sitting on a lot of now, right, for the rest of the – so and right now we have a pretty good supply. That'll probably get us through the winter. Is that what you're saying?
Say that. You just don't know.
But this is for last year. So we have to – so for the all of 2020, we used we had $6,500 in sand, all of 2020. So if we can have – if we set the budget at $8,000 – and Kelly can still take advantage of some of these, you know, prices. Maybe 8,000 would be a better number to put. Or do you want to leave it at 10?
I put it at
10. 8. I put it at 8.
Yeah, I have it at 8, too.
8? Okay, I'll change it to 8.
I don't even sure we need 8.
Well, better be safe than sorry.
Yeah, that's something that, you know, we have a bad year. We could be in trouble, sand-wise.
And so we good on that, 8,000? Okay.
Yeah.
And then going real fast here, dropping right down to asset management. We had put in $2,000 for operation budget.
Hang on. Where are you? Asset management.
Right down before water services.
Are we done with mine?
Yeah.
Nothing else yet?
Nope.
Okay, gotcha. All right, right here. Yep.
So we put in $2,000 for operations, and I think $1,000 for water. Maybe just put in $1,000 for operations and $1,000, leave $1,000 for water. Because to be honest with you, $2,000, you're really not going to be able to get much done. If we do need to have something done, at least there's $1,000 in each budget to be able to address whatever issue we have to with asset management. And, of course, the hope is that you get $20,000 max.
Why would we need this if we're going to be hopefully $40,000 in asset management? What is this for that's different than the
If the warrant article fails, at least you have some money to spend on asset management. And I'll be honest with you. We have some very valuable paper documents here in the office that if we ever lose them, we've lost thousands of dollars in hours worth of work. So maybe just digitizing all of that would be $1,000 worth.
Jay, what any asset management discussions we've ever had over the last 4 years has been about the water system. So let's just put $2,000 underwater and take the $1,000 out of the operating budget.
Well, actually, we do have a lot of asset information on our culvert system. We have 168 culverts that have been tagged.
Right.
And
right, but
well, that,
all we've ever right, but that's done. So I think that if we're looking at the reality of what we would potentially spend on any kind of asset management, like you said, that big book of all that information, it would all be water related.
Well, but what about the culverts?
Well, what are we going to do with? There's nothing to do with the culverts, is there?
Well, yeah, we've got that's 6,000. What Kelly uses. He uses that to do his maintenance upgrades. You know, leaf blowing, cleaning them out. They're all numbered.
Okay.
I know that all the posts with the numbers on them, a lot of those have been tampered with or knocked down or removed completely. Maybe we should go back and re-identify those culverts with those number tags.
Well, we've got $6,000 in the culvert line item. All right, I mean, if you want to leave it in there, that's fine. But, you know, I just think anything that we do that's truly asset management would fall under the water.
Yeah. And I know $1,000... Yep, go ahead.
No, finish.
Okay. Yeah, $1,000 I know will get us, with our GPS locations, a very rough GPS map of our valves and curb stop valves, isolation valves and curb stop valves.
Yeah,
$490.
Yeah, it's up to you. If you want to keep $1,000 in each budget, that's fine.
Yeah, I do, because I like to keep this asset management activity active. And if you don't fund it, you're basically saying you've given up on it.
Okay. All right.
All right. So,
just a reminder for me, Jay, you need to go back and read that budget article very carefully. I reworded it a little. So go back and read what you wrote word for word. I don't understand it, to tell you the truth, because it does mention roads in it. And so if that's tied because of the water system to roads, but it is a water system asset management program. So I sort of took what you wrote and I just reordered it a little, but read it again, because I don't personally understand it, and I want to make sure it's right. Okay.
Okay. Another good point. I'll do that. Thank you. And so with these number changes, and I don't have my calculator with me, but we're looking at about a 2.5% increase to the operations budget. And
we're going from 560,740 to 567,600.
Ooh,
so we're going up less than $7,000. We're going up less than $7,000.
Wait a minute. Versus the budget, how much are we going up versus what was spent?
We're going $90,000 over what we spent.
We're going
$90,000 over what we spent.
Yeah, but that's over 20. That was over what you had spent. It was probably less, because this was as of December 12th, right? So that doesn't include all the bills. December,
right. There is some additional bills that are going to be posted to 2020. I'm writing on here that this is 12/31. This is year end budget, but I did it January 6th. So I did pick up a little bit of the stuff from the first week in January. There'll probably be another $7,000 or $8,000 or so coming in. So there's the last payroll week that'll get budgeted back to 2020. Ian's bill, which should be forthcoming this week. So there's still going to be, I don't know, $8,000 to $10,000 at worst,
right,
that's going to be going into that budget.
So when we publish this, it will be more updated.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if we spent $478, so say worst case will be $488 expended.
Yep.
So 488 to 570, yeah.
Yeah, we're looking at about a 2% increase in our operations budget. That's pretty good, guys.
Well, now you're basing that on the budget or the expended?
I'm basing it on the 2020 budget versus the proposed 2021 budget.
Yes, okay, yes, okay. So like I said, our expenditures this year were very low. We had a very fortunate year with our DPW crew. And
I want to go through it. Not today, but I'm going to go through myself one more time, because I look at that and go, well, why couldn't you bring it down more then? I mean, why?
Yeah.
You really, one thing I think we have to do, and maybe you do it in the PowerPoint, Kathy, is really address why we are so under budget this year. Because last year, I'm going to say at the meeting, you guys proposed a huge increase, which was voted down. And then at the meeting, you said, oh my God, this is a crisis. We are not going to be able to operate the district based on what you guys gave us. Not only did you do that, you came in way under budget. You have to explain that to people. Otherwise, you know what they're going to do? They're going to ask for an amendment to bring this down to what was actual this year. We've got to be able to justify the budget. It's not a 2% increase. It's an increase. That's how people process this stuff. So I think we need to be able to go through here and really understand exactly why we were under. If it was because COVID and a lot of stuff didn't get done, if it was because we just got lucky with equipment repairs, or if it was because the prior year. Like all that stuff, we need to sort of, if we don't put it in the presentation, at least have it on a piece of paper so when somebody asked a question, right. We can answer it.
Yeah. Well, I think two things. I mean, last year's when we were looking at last year's budget, we were planning on a $75,000 payment on the Reinhardt tank, and that didn't happen this year. That was part of what we built into the budget. So that's a pretty significant chunk of change. And so when the budget got reduced by $60,000, that was almost an offset. So we were building it in because we thought that would be due that last year. And they took it out at the meeting. We didn't need it anyway. So, I mean, that's kind of why we were able to perform, even though the budget was reduced by that $60,000. The reason was we didn't have that Reinhardt loan payment to make in 2020. It's not starting until 2021.
That was $59,400.
Yeah, all that doesn't matter, though. All that matters is we being able to explain why we need more money than we spent last year.
So we've got $12,000 in a truck payment that we didn't have in 2020. We do have to make $17,500 payment for Reinhardt that we didn't have in 2020. So those are the two biggest things that have to be paid in 2021 that were not part of the budget in 2020.
Okay.
That's all right.
I mean, again, there's $28,000 there.
Somebody has got to have that question in front of them at the meeting.
Yep.
Any line item that goes up more than that goes up significantly more than 10% versus what we spent or 5% versus what was actual, you have to be able to explain why the number last year was not because the actual, because you got to be able to go through that. Otherwise, I'm telling you, people will ask for amendments. I mean, we don't have to give any amendments, but you know, it goes back to that idea that we have to try and listen to people and.
We get closer to the end of January, that the expended number will be more realistic. And like I said, you add that almost $30,000 in loan payments, and then take that number, the difference there is the actual increase in the budget. I don't think you can call a loan payment an increase in spending, even though it is, but we have to pay it. We don't have any choice in the matter. So, you know, once you take that out, then if there's $25,000 in increase, then that's what we'd have to explain.
Right.
Okay. Let's move on to the very last few items, and that's under the water services. So now we're out of the operations. We're in water services. So under electricity, I think, Kathy, you had proposed. I can't see your proposal.
Okay. The budget was $30,000. We spent $26,100. I put in $27,500.
Okay, I was going to ask, and knowing that we've now put in those new controls, the VFDs, that should significantly lower our electric usage. So I put in $26,000.
Because, those VFDs were running. The VFDs, think about this. When we did the DPW upgrades, that was December of 2019. So pretty much all of 2020, we've been running with that VFD.
Huh. Okay. I thought it would come down more. All right.
And So I thought the same thing. And it didn't make that much of a difference. I think it's better and it will generate a longer life on the pumps, but it didn't reduce the electrical cost that significantly.
Yep.
I mean, maybe it went down $5,000. Maybe the year before was $30,000. I didn't look back at the previous year.
Okay, I'll take a look at it. Moving on, I want to jump down to repairs. And we had proposed $50,000. We actually spent $41,507. And I'm going to why did I have 45? I'm sorry. I want to lower that number. I think you have, 50,000 again?
Yep.
Repairs? Yeah, I want to lower that by $5,000. Probably might even be able to go more. Here's what I'm going to propose to everybody. So we have a water operator who hires a contractor to come in and excavate when there's a water leak so that he can go into the hole and do the repair. And we see what the costs are of hiring that excavator. And I'd like to propose that in certain instances, if our DPW crew feels that they can excavate an area to access the leak for Ian to get in to do his repair, that we utilize our DPW services. And Kelly is still here. So I'm going to actually ask him first for his comments on that idea.
He absolutely can.
So Kelly says he absolutely can, and you know what kind of money that's going to save us.
Okay. All right. Yep. And it may even get things done more quickly since we're already on site.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I only dropped it by $5,000. If we have two or three repairs, that we'd be saving right there about $12,000.
Okay. And don't forget, we're adding that $600 from that 4-inch water main that got put into the wrong line item. So the true cost we spent this year is going to be closer to $42,000.
Okay. All right.
So 45. So if we spent $42,000 this year, and 45, I think that's realistic.
Okay. And we'll monitor this, and I have a feeling we're going to have significant savings with the DPW crew doing that work. It all depends on how many breaks we actually have, though. So the next line item I wanted to jump down to, and I just have a question on this. This is heat and propane. Did we actually spend only $129 this year on heat?
I'll tell you what. Donna and I went back through every AmeriGas bill, and that's what we came up with. We looked at the bills and realized that they had a little code up in the corner of which pump house it was, and we went through them, and that's what we got, honestly. I mean, maybe they had to come and fill the propane tanks. I don't know why it's so low. I really don't. But that's what we...
DPW2?
No, this is strictly water.
This is the pump houses, yeah. Okay. And then the telemetry or SCADA system.
Do we want to lower that? You want to take $1,000 out of that line item? Make it $600?
No.
Okay.
Because I know in years, I'll go back, Kathy, and I'll look at the previous years, but I think you're talking actually thousands of dollars to heat those pump houses.
Yeah, and I don't know why. Although you made the comment, Jay, that when we were concerned about the old Reinhardt pump house, you said, look, the water's coming out of the ground at 50 degrees. So it's not like you're, heating up, 30-degree water. So the water itself coming up from the system helps heat those pump houses.
Right. And I don't know what they're set for, the thermostats, but I know that even in the spring and fall, they're heating those buildings because the ground temperature is 50 degrees. I think they try to keep it at 55. I'm not sure, but I'll go in and check with Ian on that.
Okay. So Donna and I did go through, because that was a question I had of why that was so low. So either the propane tanks were full at the end of 2019 and they just went around and gave each one of them another shot. I don't know what are the propane tank sizes at all those pump houses?
The one up at the summit of Oak is a submarine, a 500 gallon.
Okay. a 500 gallon propane tank? Okay.
Yeah. The one at the new pump station, which of course wasn't active. Let's see, I'm trying to go down. There is
Muddy
none
Beach.
At Decorah. Muddy Beach, I think, is twin 125s. And
so maybe they were topped off last year at the end of 19, and we just didn't go through it. I don't know.
If they're on autofill, if they stop by and they're below 8%, they're going to fill them. So that doesn't make any sense. Like, they're not going to look, we don't need it here. They fill it.
But they would have topped them off, and if they were full, and... You're right.
Because they fill them to 80%, and then basically the next, if their computer says come back on in 6 months, which is based on history, which if we've paid in history, they come back. If it's down to 70%, they're going to fill it up, they're going to top it off, but...
Right.
So it'll just be our actual. So it should reflect our actual usage.
They would have used, but there would have been propane use last winter, January, February, March, that would have taken it down. There should have been a bill at some. So either the bills are not correct, like they're not noted correctly.
Well, unless we looked at AmeriGas, and that's who our propane provider is.
All right. Could we have missed a bill somewhere? I mean, that's the other
question.
Larry Leonard did this a couple of years ago. And he called AmeriGas and said, hey, we've only got a couple of bills, and it adds up to, and it was right. So it was a Summit station, like $60 worth of gas. Is that real? And they went back and looked at their numbers, said, what's the meter or tank number? They gave them the tank number. And they said, no, you spent $1,500 last year on that tank.
Yeah.
Yeah, we may just want to call AmeriGas with those tank numbers, and they can give us a full account for the fiscal year.
Okay. Well. Okay. Because right. we know we paid, so I don't know where else that would have gone.
There's no way that number.
Right.
It's just not possible. I mean, the way they.
I know. Donna and I sat down because we knew that that didn't look right, and.
I called them and see what they had.
And then the only propane was general buildings and grounds, and that was $1,213. So between the two, there was $5,354 for buildings and grounds. That was DPW 1 and 2 for heat.
Okay. The last item, to move along, because I got to get going, was the telemetry.
Okay.
Yeah, we had $6,000 appropriated or budgeted in 2020. We spent almost $5,000, and that was because, and correct me if I'm wrong, Kathy, but we did a lot of work to a lot of our pump houses, including the DPW station, the DPW garage, and a lot of that uses the telemetry, and so we did spend a lot this year because of the upgrades to the pump stations, which included telemetry. But we're not going to be doing that next year. So my proposal was to lower the telemetry data.
No, listen. So all the money that was spent, that went to the warrant article. Okay? Those are all part of the warrant article to upgrade all that telemetry. What this line item is, we have a contractual agreement with EII, Electrical Installations, that they are our on-call SCADA people. So, all the visits that Tom makes and calls that he fields all fall under the contractual agreement with them. So I don't think, Donna may be able, and I don't know what that amount is, but Donna may be, maybe it's $5,000 for the year. That's something that she can check fairly quickly, but I believe it's just an annual contract.
EII, the contractual yearly agreement cost?
Tom from Electrical Installations.
Electrical Installations.
I think that's, look to see what's posted to that telemetry account. That's the telemetry SCADA account. So it's not all the individual.
Right, all the visits and repairs.
I think it's contractual. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think we had one antenna that we had to repair this year.
Yeah, that was a Jungfrau thing. Yeah. That wouldn't have fallen under the contract. That would have been a repair above and beyond. But the maintaining of our system either fell under the warrant article for all the upgrades, but I do believe that it's a two-year or so contract we have with that company.
Right. Hang on. Donna is pulling it up.
I hate to jump her out of what she's doing. That's a pain in the ass to lose your train of thought.
I have my EII in that account is $4,222.40.
Was that
one bill?
And it's simply water.
No, wouldn't be them, I don't think. Yeah, so.
Telemetry in June, the bad radio for Chicora went in there.
Yeah, bad radio. Oh, the bad radio in Chicora.
Okay, so the 55, so probably 4,500 of it, I would say, would be the contractual price.
Okay, so what do we have in there now, Kathy, on your numbers?
6,000.
And
we spent almost 5.
Yeah, leave it as is.
Okay, I can go 5,500, but that's not going to make that much of a difference. Okay.
No, it's not. It's not. So that basically puts our water budget at par for last year. So that's pretty good. That's very good.
Okay. Yeah. So we spent 154 too. As of January 6th, and we're budgeting 162.
Yep. Okay. All right, folks.
All right.
Good work.
Talk about the communication on this, all this stuff. The newsletter.
Yeah.
I need to that thing that was written.
I took basically, Paula, all the information that you put together, which was extremely complete, which was great, and took out some of the details of what's going to happen at each meeting, like the moderator will recognize you when you've got 2 minutes.
No,
I mean that stuff
I, That was good.
Which is,
yeah.
Yeah. So I just kind of took out.
I don't know what you set off. I sent something late last night because I went back on it again.
Okay.
Because I concerned one about you didn't put in, unfortunately, and I wasn't sure why, if it was intentional, anything about trying to ask people to run. And I think that's the first thing that has to happen. So I went back and pulled that up, what I wrote last night, quickly.
Okay.
After email.
Okay.
And what I did is I basically said, hey, guys, all this stuff's coming up, and here's what's going on. And then I just tried to keep it definitely in the order that it was in terms of the order of things. The first thing that has to happen is people have to get an application in to run for office. So I kind of put that as the first item. And then the other thing I think, and I left it at the end, but I don't know if we have the dates for absentee yet. And that's a little unclear.
The date for what?
So,
I'm sorry.
The
absentee ballot?
I'm just looking
so, I think the application for the absentee ballot is we just have to go in and change the date on it. So the application for the absentee ballot, there's nothing on it other than, you know, I'm going to be out of town or I'm sick and I can't make it and put your name. The only thing we're going to do is change the date.
Where do they get it? Is that clear?
From the office. We can post it on the website.
I know, but so let me just run through this. Okay, so I basically said, here's everything that's going on. The first thing is running for office. I took out a lot of the words I put in, but I did basically say, this is how I do give a lot of
trust on them. Just transfer.
Mm-hmm.
We have to tell people how I don't think there's a lot of new people in the district this year. So I put some of that back in, Kathy, and says, this is how it's
done. Okay, yep, that's fine. That's fine.
I don't know if you guys are comfortable where I put NPO resident who is a registered voter can run for this seat. If elected, you would be required to attend meetings. Usually it would be about 3 to 8 hours a week. It pays $3,600, and I just put it in great. So then I put the treasurer and clerk. I didn't realize clerk was 1 year, so this would have to be so that you could put, we just changed this. The treasurer, clerk are also up. The treasurer's pay is, and I didn't know what the treasurer's pay was. I think it's.
Okay.
I know where to find
it.
Wait, Paula?
Excuse me, the clerk is 2 years. Mine was
I
up.
I know.
Okay.
Oh, yours was up. So it is 2 years for the clerk.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the treasurer?
I was voted in to fill out the rest of Nancy's thing.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So does the clerk job pay anything?
$275.
Okay. So we can put that in. And then I don't know if you guys have this up in front of you, but I think
I do.
It is.
I do.
Okay. Now I've lost. Sorry. Sorry.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, that looks good, Paula. This is going to be an overwhelming letter. This is going to be an overwhelming newsletter.
But what else can we do? It's a lot of information.
I basically said,
please review this carefully as processes have been affected. It's a lot to, but it is a lot of information. I think if people want to participate, they need to understand how it works. So
okay.
Running for office, and then I said, if you want to be on the ballot, contact Donna. Is that correct? I mean, why would they contact Donna? Isn't there an application?
The office.
Because they have to fill out a
candidacy
form.
So can't we put that on?
And she has to witness it. But she has to witness it, I believe.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. You guys know that legally we have to have somebody at the office on the 29th. Are you aware of that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, I mean, I'd be happy to sit in my car down there that Friday if you want me to from 3 to 5 and accept applications if that's the case. But I think we need to put that in there because the office is not open. And if somebody shows up at the office at noon on that Friday and they can't turn it in, that's why I put this in here. The office is usually closed. Someone will be there from 3 to 5 that day. So I just want to make sure that legally we've covered off everything we need to do, that we've made this easy. And then I just changed some of the stuff around, Kathy. I put in budget hearing and optional annual meeting and basically said everything is going virtual. And then I blocked out that thing about if you don't have a computer, this is what you do. And then it's just you don't have to keep, Then
good. No, and again, and like you said, there's so much stuff. You don't know what's important to put in and to leave for the next conversation and how much – you know, a lot of the things about people speaking at the meetings, that's true no matter what. So it's nothing that's changed.
Yeah. So I just put, we'll use Microsoft Teams. We recommend you'll download it ahead of time. We're having two practice sessions. This is it. So you simplified that, which was great. But I did say to people, have your computer. I don't want to be sitting on, if we have one of these things, people going, wait, my computer's not on. Oh, it's not, it's warming up. This is what people will do, guys.
Oh, I agree. And I did talk to Andrew, just so that we know, that once the office and Andrew are set up with Microsoft Teams, they're the ones that schedule the meetings in their calendar, and the app does all that work. They can send an invite, so somebody can, on their phone or their laptop, just click on the invite, and it's a very quick process. If you attend through the web-based portal, you don't have to download anything, so that makes it that much easier.
Okay.
People don't need all the software, because even when the first time I ever did it, I got an invite. I clicked on it. I still had to download the software. The computer prompts you to do that, but you have to have the software.
I think that's why we're gonna have a practice session, and maybe we can even do it between Donna and I, just to see how that works once we get Andrew on board, or Andrew, and I'll use Kevin's phone to do it since he's not connected in any way to Microsoft Teams.
The first time I ever did it,
anyway.
I got an invite from somebody, and then my computer prompted me to put all the software in.
Paul is correct.
Basically what I put in is the budget hearing stuff you'll see is the same. Then I put in optional annual meeting down then, and I said, this replaces everything else, okay? And this is how it's going to work. Now, one thing I changed, Kathy, that you changed is at the first meeting, the virtual informational system, the public will not be permitted to. You put in that the moderator would handle the comments. There will be no public input at that meeting. The only way for them to comment is to do written afterwards. And the reason why...
That's our choice. That's our choice, That's not what... We can allow public comment at that meeting if we choose to.
And I would argue not to, and here's why. It's because, first of all, there's a lot of meetings. There's a budget hearing where people can give their input, right? That's what the budget hearing's for. To me, this is just to provide information to people. And if we start taking comments, somebody might make a comment to try and persuade people not to vote for it, thinking, okay, I've told people. We may only have 5 people show up for the info session, and we may have 50 people show up for the virtual meeting. If you turn the virtual information into another budget hearing, it's just another budget hearing. Like, the idea of it is just to give people the information. If they want to comment, they can come to the budget hearing. That's how the process works now. Or they can come to the annual meeting. If we open this up for comment, now we've added another thing for people to comment and another thing for debate. So to me, the virtual meeting is the one where this is the final warrant, folks. Here's all the written feedback from your peers that we've gotten. Tell us any more comments that you have. But I just feel like we're going to be turning it into another free-for-all, potentially. It's to me, if somebody comes to that's my opinion, Jay. I don't know how you feel, but I feel like, boy, these things are going to be hard enough as it is to take public input on virtual. If we keep at least one of them clean, I think it will, I don't know. It's just, I think it could be a problem, and I think we need to make it as simple as possible.
Yeah, I tend to agree, and I don't have a decision at this time as to whether to open up public comment during the very first budget hearing. But we do have the option of doing it or not.
The budget hearing is a budget hearing. That's open to comment, the budget hearing, because nothing changes there other than it's virtual. What we're talking about is that February 16th, this is like the new meeting, the informational session on how everything is going to work. And what Paul is saying, I agree. You know, if they're interested in commenting one-on-one, they can do it at the standard budget hearing.
Right.
And
on January 27th.
Their fellow people, they can either write something in, which we're going to read at the meeting, or speak up at the next meeting. But I just feel like we're doing is, if we open it up, Kathy, we're turning it into a second budget hearing. That's what we're doing if we open it up. And it's going to just become... And that's not the end of it.
And you're right. By the time we reach that February 16th, we will have already established the posted
post a
warrant article. So we won't be able to change it anyway. So getting comment virtually isn't going to change anything because we can't change that because that's going to be the posted warrant article,
yeah.
And we can't change anything until the virtual meeting on the 23rd.
Right.
All right.
And I'm
okay. All right. Okay. I got it. I got it. I agree.
Okay.
All right.
And then I changed the ballot. I just changed the word. I think most of it is the same else after that. I put back in that thing about if people vote no. I didn't put the whole thing in, but it said there will be a question about, and I put if majority votes no, all warrants and budgets shall be considered to be voted down. Board will convene. I mean, we can take that out. I just thought that was important, but I don't know why.
I would put that in the letter because it's going to be the letter should have all the details. And
okay.
I took it out just because I don't think it impacted the
okay.
process.
Okay.
That's all.
I'll take it out.
Yeah, but that first question is in fact the very first article.
It is. Yeah, which is okay. It's just that this is letting people know we're going to the virtual process and here's how it's going to work. Now, we still have to send a letter out to every registered voter and absolutely
yep.
include that in the letter. But we read that first thing from NHMA and my head was spinning. Then I read the thing from the lawyer and it made it worse. I mean, it took three or four reads to figure out this process. So we're now familiar with it, so it doesn't seem that complicated. So I just think we wanted to make sure we highlighted everything that was important and take out some of the things that we can just add to it once people are comfortable with the process. That's the only reason I took it out.
Okay.
And then the other question, so on, and then the last section is absentee ballot, which, and it says application
yep.
will by January 15th. Do we say at the office? And then it says the absentee ballot.
We can post it on the website.
Yep.
Okay. So we'll be available by January 15th on the website or at the office?
Yep,
and the bulletin board,
Well,
and
no,
then the
they can't get it. It can't be on the bulletin board.
February 1st, is that true?
Right, because all we have to do is on January 29th, we'll know who's going to be running. So within a couple of days of that, we can just type the names in and print out a couple copies.
Yep. All right, I got to get to helping Donna, so.
Okay, absentee ballot.
It's important.
Application.
Absentee ballot.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I thought
okay.
it was last week.
So.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's the transfer. That's the new thing we set up.
Yeah. Hey, guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
I need to make a motion.
It's really important
to say.
I know you want to help Donna, but we got to get this thing out today. We got to, I just want to make sure.
So Paula, make the changes that we discussed.
Send it back.
There was like there was one spelling mistake under the February 16th meeting, the word input, but to adjust that, send it to me and I'll get it put on MailChimp and on the website.
Yeah, and did you ever figure out how to do it as a PDF, like attachment or not? Never
I'll figure it out. The MailChimp thing, you can't. You have to cut and paste it, which I'll do. And then if I post it on the website, I've already got the tab set up for 2021 annual meeting, and it'll just be a PDF document, and they just click on it, and there it is.
All right. And then we can do the letter, adjust for the letter. Yeah. No, I think it's good.
Okay.
All right, so send that to me when you can, and I'll get it out by the end of the day today.
We got one other line of business here, and that is to sign the money transfer request to the trustees of the trust fund.
No, it's money transfer request form. It's for the bank that we implemented from Catherine, from Dinah taking money to transfer money from one account to another.
Oh, okay.
So all it is a form, right?
Yeah. Okay. So this is the tight tank. This is the reason and purpose, the tight tank water line extension fund. And that amount is $5,500. So I'll make that motion that we do this money transfer request for that amount from that fund. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. The second one is for $738.51. And this is to take money from the Waterline Extension Fund for the purpose of paying North Conway water precinct bills.
Okay.
It's for the water hookup fees to be billed back to, into the operating budget.
Okay. All right. Is that
okay? That was the water. Okay, that was the water hookup.
And 34 Interlaken.
Okay.
They came in after we already approved.
Yeah, after we approved. Okay. So I'll make that motion for $738.51. Do I have a second to the motion?
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Yes.
And Paul, could you come down and sign these two forms?
Yeah, I'm not sure, John. I'm gonna put that. I'm not under sure I got these motions correct. I don't understand exactly. I don't think I worded them correct, so I'll put them in. But you might want to check those exactly what those where those things are transferring from. I lost some of that when I was trying to write it down. So
yeah.
Okay.
Transferring from the water line extension fund.
To where?
To the operating budget.
And what was the first one? What was that transferring from?
Waterline extension fund to the operating budget for a total of $5,500.
Oh, okay.
So there's two separate ones doing the, they're doing the same thing, but two different
same thing.
Reasons.
The two different values, right?
Was a Warren article. Okay.
Yep. Okay. You got it? All right. Yeah. Do we have any other business that we need to discuss today? Hearing none, I'd like to make a motion to adjourn the meeting, I'm sorry, at 10:30. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, thank you, folks.
Okay. All right, Paula, thank you so much. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.